This is the Steve and PDX Podcast, Episode 2. All right, that was a punk group. Thanks for that, guys. Thank you for letting me use your music on my podcast. We have a lot of things to talk about this week. First, I want to say thanks for the feedback that I've been getting. I've got four or five, maybe 25 downloads of this podcast. And I am saying that 22 of them are probably by accident. So if you're listening again this week, those people who have downloaded this on accident, thanks, sorry. Two of them were mine, and I think one was Jules. Jules, if you're listening, thanks for listening to the podcast. I haven't forgotten about you. I just had a crazy week, and I will be returning your email very quickly. All right, so in this podcast, what I do is I talk about anime and movies and music and things that have been happening in my life. And if you find it interesting, that's great. If you don't find it interesting, that's great too. So I think we're going to start off. I mentioned last week that I had a theory about what the seventh book in the Harry Potter series is about, and I think that I'm going to give you my theory right now. So if you have no interest in that, or if you think that you want to keep your mind pure as to what that seventh book is going to be about, go ahead and skip forward about 3 or 4 minutes and avoid this section. All right, so are they gone? Excellent. What we can do is, to recap, is Harry has to find these Horcruxes to kill Voldemort, right? So he has to walk around and, discover where the remaining Horcruxes are. So he has to, find, there's supposed to be seven of them, right? One of them, of course, is himself, and then there's Nagini the snake. He's supposed to be a Horcrux, or she. I don't know if it's a boy snake or a girl snake. I don't really give a shit. It's just that he's one of those Horcruxes. So that's two. So the ring that Dumbledore found was a third. The locket that they found in the sixth book that was taken by R.A.B., whoever R.A.B. is. I think it's Regulus Black. That's just me. Who knows? Who knows who it could be, but that would be my best guess. So, let's see. That's Voldemort, the genie, the ring, the locket, the diary that Voldemort had left in the care of Lucius Malfoy, and he carelessly let Ginny have it, and that gave us the Chamber of Secrets. So that's five, and so there's two other ones, right? There's the goblet that they talked about, the artifact that Voldemort got off that older woman who said it was used to be Helga Hufflepuff's icon or treasure or one of her items that she had. And then there's one left, and I think that's Harry. So, in the end, after Harry finds this goblet and, destroys it, and then, kills the snake, and then eventually kills Voldemort, there'll still be one Horcrux left, and that will be Harry himself. So with that little bit of Voldemort's soul stuck in his head and that lightning bolt scar, there will be a tremendous inner battle. And what's going to happen is somebody's going to have to kill Harry. And will that be Ron? No. Will that be Ginny or Hermione? No way. The only person that's going to have enough nads to step up and do that deed is going to be Neville Longbottom. So Neville, in the end, is going to have to kill Harry to make sure that the that Voldemort is truly dead and gone. So that's my theory. That's I'm sticking to it. There's some variations to that, of course, because of this Horcrux connection. That's it explains the reason why Harry was able to see things through Voldemort's eyes, because he actually had part of his soul living in him, and see things through Nagini's eyes when we saw that when Arthur Weasley was injured in standing guard outside the Hall of Mysteries or Room of Mysteries, whatever the name of that place is. So he's going to be able to use that talent to locate the last, the other Horcrux, the goblet, and then take care of that, destroy it, whatever needs to be done. So that's going to be a major part. I think also in this book we're going to find out a lot more about Luna Lovegood, and obviously more about Neville, and that his parents aren't actually insane. They've just been kept that way through the continued consumption of that gum that they've been chewing ever since they've been hospitalized. So I think for Neville there's going to be a happy ending, but there's going to be a price he has to pay, and that's going to be actually having to, off Harry. And that's okay. I think that's an excellent way to end the book. I've read on the Leaky Cauldron, I'll put a link to in my show notes, that Joe had said in interviews that she'd be finished writing this book in 2006. So if that happens, that's great. I'd love to read this book in the I'd love to read this book now, but I'd love to read it in the summer of 2007. I think that would be a good. It's too long to wait, but it's long enough to be able to wait. I also read that she has already written a character death. Now, who knows which character? I know could be. I would hypothesize that. And one of the Weasley boys would die. Not Fred or George, maybe Bill or Charlie, but maybe not. But I don't see Fred or George dying. They don't seem to be in that kind of position on the front lines of things to be subjected to that kind of thing. Bill or Charlie, yeah, definitely. Ron, yes. Ginny, I don't think so. I think she's a minor character. I don't think that, Harry's love interest, obviously, in the sixth book, they finally get together and what have you, but I don't think that, in the future that Ginny will be a major character. All right. Enough about that. So, yes, the reason I'm doing this podcast today, Saturday, or actually it's Sunday, instead of Saturday, when I would normally like to do this, is because I went and played poker Saturday night. And I actually drove over the bridge into Vancouver to a friend's house, and we played poker. Probably about 23, 24 people, all playing Texas Hold'em. And I got this Griffin iTalk, or whatever it's called, this little adapter to my iPod, and I tried using it driving up there to record the podcast and see how it worked out. And it worked out, okay. It's going to be, I got it for doing interviews with different people, and for SakuraCon coming up, I'd like to capture some of the events there audio-wise and put them on the podcast. But so I tried it out, and it worked. There's a lot of road noise, and you can hear, you know, people screaming in the cars next to you or whatever, but it wasn't the high quality that you've come to expect when listening to the Steve and PDX podcast. So I'll reserve that technology for use in its proper setting, and that would be when I do remote stuff like at SakuraCon, which is coming up at the end of March, 24, 25, 26 in Seattle. And I hope that everyone in the sound of my voice is already pre-registered and has a hotel room and is ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. The boy is looking forward to it. The girl and the bride, they're not going, so, and that's fine. They can stay here. But that's the beginning of spring break for them, and they're all jazzed. So last week we had Die Capitalist Pig as our musical, I don't know, guest, for lack of a better term. I played them on the podcast, and they had a CD release party on Friday the 10th. And I didn't make it to that there. I wanted to, but, you know, things happen. Best laid plans. And so they gave away their new CD and everything, or that's what I read. So good luck to those guys. This week we have a band, another local band called At Dusk. These guys were all born and raised in Southern California, where I'm from, so that makes them okay. This is a single I got off the PodSafe Music Network called Come Too Far.
Just the sun sets down in your
Excellent. That was At Dusk with Come Too Far. These guys are just finishing up a new album, or so their website says, and it's called You Can Know Danger. They said it's going to be out in about 6 weeks. That was the March 2nd posting on their website. I'll have a link to their website in my show notes. All right, so let's move forward. And today we're going to have to talk to Yoda. He wasn't feeling well, but we're having him come in anyway. And well, I'll let the music do the talking.
Yoda uses the Force, uses the Force, uses the Force, Yoda, kick your evil ass tonight, Yoda.
Oh, pleased I am. I am lucky to be here on the Steven PDX podcast. Pleased I am to be reviewing this new movie, Basic Instinct 2, it's called. It was going to be released in theaters on the 31st of March. Sharon Stone is in it again. I believe that since it is Sharon Stone's birthday on March 10th, it is a good to review her new movie. But maybe it is not so good, because Sharon Stone is 58 or 48 years old. She was born in 1958. That makes her 48 years old. Who wants to see a naked 48-year-old woman? Because that's what this movie is about. It is about sex and nudity, and about Sharon Stone capitalizing on the fact that someone might want to see her cooter one more time before she dies. Benjamin Bratt was supposed to play the lead. Did not like that, she says. She says, Benjamin Bratt is no good actor. I know no good actors. I don't know Benjamin Bratt. But I know bad actors don't work with Sharon Stone. Chooses not to work with bad actors. Once this movie comes out, we will see that this guy she stars opposite with is a good actor. When Yoda saw that Morrissey was going to star in this movie, I got very excited. I thought, the man who put M in the Manchester, Aaron Stone, how very interesting. Except for it's not Stephen Morrissey from The Smiths. It is some guy named David Morrissey, who I have never seen before. Yoda is pleased that there are new people, but he is not pleased that Sharon Stone has to pick who she works with. Apparently, there were several directors associated with this movie that Sharon Stone ran off, but that's okay. Make it again. So, on March 31st, be sure to go to the movie theaters, and buy your ticket for Basic Instinct 2. I would go to the matinee, because that's where all the little kids will see the R-rated movie to see Sharon Stone naked. Because if you play full price for this movie, you are an idiot.
Okay, thanks, Yoda. I don't know what that was. That was Yoda saying cooter. Yeah, I think that's a word that's, you know, often used. I'm sure that we could all agree that Yoda is a little on the touch side. Maybe he's just a bit too old, communicating from the grave. But that's the way it goes, I guess, in the Lucas universe. Which, by the way, I spent some time reading about, and I was on some website from old Scandinavian place where supposedly Lucas had done this interview, and that there's script treatments for episodes 7, 8, 9, and that Hero, 30 years after the war with the Ewoks in it, after last movie, episode 6. So, if that's true, I have no idea. I don't particularly care. I mean, I guess it'll give Lucas something to do if we try to complete a 9-movie epic. Fine. I'll go see it. I know I will. I mean, I saw the first Star Wars when I was 11 in a drive-in theater in the back of a station wagon. And I thought it was the greatest thing. When I go to the movies now and I see Jar Jar Binks and Natalie Portman, with no in that last movie whatsoever, there other than to have Luke and Laura and to die of, not having the will to live. I mean, come on, give me a break. And so that's George's gig, and I'll be happy to show the matinee version of that one. I like cheap movies. What can I say? Okay, it looks like we're getting to the end here. I just want to say that if you've downloaded this and if you've done it by mistake, I'm very sorry. I'm sorry you had to suffer through this. Are pointless and that my impersonations are even worse. But I like it. Maybe it won't. Again, if you download it on accident, looking for, some kind of a tell one thing or another. Sorry. If you downloaded this on purpose, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know that you can always get a hold of me at stevenpdx, stevenpdx@hotmail.com. And you can leave a message or comment on the show's website. You can leave me a voicemail at 206-339-4029. And I have another email address that's right there on the webpage for this podcast at podomatic.com. Again, I'd like to thank Otaku Generation for more wonderful information. My iTunes exploded on me this week, and I had to go through and redo when I went to download it again and reinstall it. My PC just said, you can't have iTunes on here anymore. You don't know where this file is, and you can't find it, and you can't have it, so too bad. So I ended up downloading Anapod, which I was listening to Otaku Generation guys talking about this and that and the other thing, and it just popped into the conversation. I had no idea that there was another avenue that I could go. So I copied that down, and I'm using that now, and it's working quite famously. Thank you very much, fellas. And I'm also using Lemon now to catch my podcast. I'll leave links to those places in the show notes. I'll link to the musical guests website in the show notes, and I look forward to hearing from you. I'm going to put a fork in this baby because it is done. Because that's how you test if babies are done. You stick forks in them. And as always, we'll have the pump. Till next time.